St. Dominic's Catholic Church in San Francisco presents a homily by Reverend Pastor Father Michael Hurley. On March 15, 2020, the third Sunday of Lent, today's gospel is taken from the Gospel according to John, chapter 4, verses 5 to 42, proclaimed by Deacon Charles McNeil.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of land that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, tired from his journey, sat down there at the well. It was about noon. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. And Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? For Jews use nothing in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who was saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The woman said, "Sir, you do not even have a bucket, and the cistern is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this cistern and drank from it himself with his children and his flocks?" And Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water that I shall give will never thirst. And the water I give will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." And the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may not be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water. I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you people say that the place to worship is in Jerusalem." And Jesus said to her, "Believe me, woman, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You people worship what you do not understand. We worship what we understand, because salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And indeed, the Father seeks such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." And the woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, the one called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us everything." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking with you." Many of the Samaritans of that town began to believe in him. When the Samaritans came to him, they invited him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Many more began to believe in him because of his word, and they said to the woman, "We no longer believe because of your word, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." The Gospel of the Lord.
Keep calm, keep safe, keep close to Christ. Keep calm, keep safe, keep close to Christ. So Certainly this last week has upended all of our lives, hasn't it? Huh? With the outbreak and the threat of coronavirus, of COVID-19, our lives have been certainly thrown into a kind of disarray where the future looks unsteady and uncertain. And perhaps then to reflect today on how our faith helps us to move forward even in this time of pandemic, even in this time of virus outbreak. Keep calm, keep safe, keep close to Christ. First of all, to keep calm. Calmness of mind is not simply an emotion or a feeling, but based on a promise of Jesus himself. What is the last thing that Jesus ever said while he was on earth? What's the last promise he said right before he ascended to heaven? He said, I will be with you as long as you come to Sunday Mass. No, he didn't say that. I will be with you as long as you are in prayer. No, I will be with you as long as you're doing good deeds. No, he doesn't qualify. I will be with you always, even and perhaps especially in moments of darkness, in moments of plague and pandemic. The Lord is with us. That is the basis of our tranquility of mind and heart, that abiding presence and promise of our Lord Jesus. And we need this more than ever. Just the other day, I was, you know, you're looking on the internet. I would not necessarily recommend going down the rabbit hole that I did of all the stats and studies and the worst case scenario. I mean, it just makes you crazy, right? It doesn't really no good. You get that kind of anxiety of mind and heart. Perhaps then, as many of us work with a new normal of living, whether you're working from home, perhaps families or children are home because of school cancellations, whatever the rhythm of your day has been changed to make sure that you're taking that time to establish a normal which brings that connection of the presence of Christ, which always brings peace. What's the first gift Jesus gives his disciples when they are experiencing a kind of social distancing, right? After his death, they're locked in that upper room, totally disconnected. He comes, he's in their midst, and he says what? Peace be with you. Peace be with you. That's the gift he offers us. Let's take time to establish routines. I mean, as religious, it's wonderful. We have our daily orarium, the rhythm of the day. Let's seek to establish new rhythms of the day that put us in connection with that promise of Christ to be with us, to give us his peace. And if we do that, that second aspect, to keep safe, will follow. To keep safe. Certainly, we think most pressingly about a good hygiene, right? We're washing our hands, we're appropriate distance from folks. We're doing everything we need to be physically healthy and safe. But more importantly, or equally importantly, that idea that we are spiritually healthy, that we are spiritually practicing good hygiene. Because it doesn't do us a lot of good if we're doing all the things we should to protect, to guard from getting the virus, if we are at the same time neglecting or adversarial towards our neighbor, right? Seeing videos of people fighting in the parking lot over toiletries, right? Cutting people off, shortness of temper, anger. Let's face it, in moments of fear, fear always activates the worst parts of ourselves, right? Always, it has that tendency to do that. Keeping safe, keeping healthy means that we are more generous, more loving, more patient, especially if we find ourselves perhaps with in family situations where things are a little bit of cabin fever, if you will. It's interesting, someone remarked to me that during this time they had reached out to call a couple of people that they hadn't connected with in a long time, and it got me thinking. I did that myself. I actually called a few folks that I hadn't talked to in quite some time, and we both remarked, why did it take this pandemic for us to kind of reconnect? I thought, shouldn't we have been in more conversation? Because we certainly have a connection there. What would it look like for you to practice that kind of health, spiritual health of reaching out to perhaps someone you know might be struggling a little bit or is anxious or fearful, to connect in that way. And if we do that, then that last moment, keep close to Christ. St. Paul says in his letter to the Romans, what can separate us from the love of Christ? Spoiler alert, nothing, right? He goes through a whole litany of things. Neither life or death, the principalities or powers, the past or the future, height, length, depth, nothing can separate us from Christ and his love, the love of God in our lives. Do we truly believe that? Do we truly believe? Not even coronavirus can keep us from God's love. And in this way, we have access to that presence of God through prayer. It's interesting. I think sometimes we think that prayer is the last resort of failed projects, right? We try this, we try that, not working out. Oh, well, I guess we got to pray about it now, right? It's the last thing we do when we failed on something or where our efforts don't to be seen make a difference. Prayer should be the first thing we start with. Do we want to ameliorate this coronavirus? The first thing we need to do is to pray. The first thing we need to do is to ask God's mercy, his intercession, his blessing, his insight. And so we do that today. We pray, and we have the power of his presence gathered here to change the outcome, to change the future of what lies before us. Do you believe that your prayers right now can change the future for the better? That's what the Lord promises us. And so we pray powerfully for his mercy for those who have died, for his strength for those who are caring on the front lines for those who are infirmed. We pray for wisdom and insight for those who are searching for a cure. We pray for peace of mind and heart for us all. Today we gather as a people confident in the promise of our Lord Jesus and ask him that he might help us to keep calm, to keep safe, and to keep close to Christ. Be at peace. Amen.